and welcome to another in our series of Pursuing Better Together podcasts produced by Arch Insurance International. Today, it is my great pleasure to be talking to Caroline Wagstaff. Caroline, as many of our listeners will know, is CEO of the London Market Group, which represents the diverse interests of the city's insurance and reinsurance markets. She took up the role in April 2021, and since then has helped spearhead numerous market initiatives and been at the centre of many of the critical developments shaping today's marketplace for a better future. Caroline has worked in the London market for over 25 years, a period which has seen it change considerably on virtually every front. A large part of that time has been spent on the marketing communications front line. She is the founder of Lucid Communications, which she set up in 2005 and which later became part of Luther Pendragon, and has worked for a broad spectrum of companies across the financial sector during this time. Her career also includes a five-year period as head of marketing communications for Lloyds. Caroline, I suppose, firstly, thank you so much for finding a gap in your very busy schedule to speak to us today.
My pleasure. Very nice to talk to you.
Great. So, Caroline, I wanted to start our conversation by looking at your career in the insurance industry to date. And I wanted to ask, firstly, what was it that drew you into this insurance world? And I suppose in addition to that, what would you say has held your interest in the market since?
I think, like a lot of people, and we'll come on to this, I'm sure, when we talk a bit about talent and the insurance market, is I did fall into insurance. A friend of mine, who's now a senior CEO in the market, rang me up. He was at Lloyd's and said, I don't know what you do, but it always sounds more interesting than what we do. Can you come and talk to my boss about being our marketing director? Yes. And that was the first step in my insurance journey. So the result of that was I was appointed head of marketing communications at Lloyd's, a job I did for 5 years. But like a lot of people in other bits of the city, I'd never really come across insurance. I'd been a commodity trader. I'd worked in spread betting. I'd been in derivatives, accountancy, and yet the village that is EC3 had pretty much remained a mystery to me.
Yes.
And the reason I stayed in it is because I love the community and I love the market and I love the fact that you get to know people and, you know, your paths, you know, come together and then go apart and come together. And I think it is unique, and it is the only bit of financial services which is still co-located. There are 350 businesses, all within half a mile of the Lloyd's building, all in the same sector, many of whom are supporting each other. And they do this unique thing, which is that they compete and cooperate at the same time. The thing about insurance is, you know, it touches so many bits of the economy, so many bits of people's life. There's always something that's new and interesting and new types of products. And so I found it, you know, endlessly, you know, intriguing and interesting. I've, you know, been really grateful working with some great people and some great firms, and surprised but delighted to find myself, you know, leading the London Market Group.
You mentioned there yourself that you worked in a number of different sectors sort of prior to finding the insurance sector. How would you say the communication challenges that you face in the insurance sector compare to those that you faced in other sectors?
I think the issues are all quite similar. I think when you're operating in a business-to-business environment rather than a retail environment, many of the communications issues are really the same. The thing that always strikes me when I look back is how the communications industry has changed. So when I first started, I'll say these words, like, and young people will look at me and say, what is a fax? You know, we used to courier press releases to the newspapers, you know, and life was in a way simpler, and it was literally fish paper tomorrow. And now, of course, we've got this incredible range. We can do podcasts. I mean, in those days there was radio interviews and that was it. And I think the big shift is that we have control over channels that we never had control over before. So you have choices, you know, the channels you can't control, still traditional media and things, of course, living on the internet. But then there are so many more things that you can deploy to tell your story. And I think that's why communications has become both more challenging and more interesting.
I suppose as well, it's that speed of communication and that ability to reach so many thousands of industry practitioners with the click of a button.
Yes, and you can tell your story. I mean, we've been, you know, a lot of how, as the LMG, we've reached out to people in the last few weeks, actually just talking about, you know, the work we've been doing with sixth form students in our Futures Academy, so much of that engagement has been done through social media, through LinkedIn. And it's our channel to tell our story and help people be part of something.
In 2021, you were appointed CEO of the LMG following a six-month interim period in the role itself. I just wanted to get a sense of how it was for you stepping into that position and also going about taking on the myriad responsibilities that role entails.
Well, it was an incredible privilege to be asked. And I worked in the market for a long time, and in my agency life, the LMG had been a client. So I felt I had an understanding and a real belief in what it was there to do. You know, there is a role for the market to come together and speak with one voice, not on a huge number of topics, but on a certain number of topics. And I was a real believer in that. It also felt very challenging. I took on the job in COVID, so we were all working remotely. It was that period where we were all very nervous about kind of what did the world look like when we were coming back. And so I think there was a real sense of, we knew what some of the fundamentals were. I was incredibly lucky. I was building on really strong foundations laid by my predecessors, you know, yes, work that's been done with government and so forth that, you know, gave me a really good basis to kind of go from. Mm-hmm. But clearly the world has changed and things change, and some challenges still remained. And so it's a question of sitting down and deciding how we wanted to take those forward. Yes. On the government work, it was relatively simple. We were in the throes of the Financial Services and Markets Bill coming into Parliament. Mm-hmm. So that was, you know, in a sense, a train I just had to get on and
yes,
try and make the best of it. Mm-hmm. From our perspective and figure out what we needed as the London market. I think with the talent work, that's been a debate that has dogged the market for, well, as a friend of mine said, it was raised as an issue when he joined as a graduate 30 years ago. So
yes,
it struck me as being a really important one to try and figure out what our role as the LMG was in that.
Yes. Do you think that the experience and you know the various communications roles that you've held, do you think that gave you a slightly different perspective and perhaps a slightly different way of approaching some of the sort of long running challenges that the market has faced?
I think it definitely gives me a mindset where I view things as campaigns. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the LMG is a campaign. I don't want to call us a lobbying organisation because I don't think we're lobbying in the pure sense, but we're definitely a campaigning organisation. Mm-hmm. And I think my marketing and comms background helps when you're trying to think about what that looks like and what the trajectory should be. Mm-hmm. Definitely knowing a lot of people in the market, having worked with them, having built up kind of mutual, you know, respect and knowledge of each other and how we work,
yes,
has also been really helpful. So it's allowed me to go and have conversations where if you were coming into this completely new, that would have been more challenging.
I wanted to focus, I suppose, on one of the primary functions of the LMG, and that's this idea of helping to maintain the uniqueness of the London market insurance ecosystem that exists. Does that uniqueness still carry as much value today as it used to? Is the London market still as unique as it ever was, do you think?
There, in fact, is no other insurance market in the same way that London is a market. Mm-hmm. You know, so I think the fact that you have an ecosystem of brokers, underwriters, loss adjusters, accountants, lawyers, you know, other support services is absolutely sets it apart and helps us to come up with better solutions, be more creative.
Yes.
The fact that London is, you know, in 2020, which is our last set of combined data, underwrote $120 billion worth of you know, premium. Mm-hmm. That's bigger than Bermuda and the US excess and surplus lines market combined. You know, there's just the sheer size in terms of capital and expertise that London presents means that it is genuinely unique. Mm. What I think you see happening is stuff starts in London and then it will go back into domestic markets as they mature and their risk appetite for those types of risks grows, and London will focus on something new. It's an evolving market.
Yes.
And of course, I'm not saying that we're without competitors. Our market share has been pretty stagnant for a decade. So although mm-hmm. that premium number is very big, you know, everyone else is growing too. So we don't want to be complacent, but do yes. I think we have something that is a genuine proposition to put to customers and business producers? The answer is yes.
Another point I wanted to raise, and sort of just linking into our theme today of pursuing better together, the role that the LNG plays as a forum for London market organisations, that very much aligns with Arch's guiding principle here of pursuing better together. How do you think the LNG demonstrates that concept of pursuing better together?
The honest answer is I think we live and breathe it every day, because we are nothing without our stakeholders and their and the member companies within each of those. Mm. So we are a living embodiment of better together. We represent brokers, we represent the company market, and we represent syndicates at Lloyd's. Mm-hmm. So we are literally together. And what are my litmus tests for when I'm thinking about what we're doing is, is there value to every bit of the community in what we're doing? Mm-hmm. And if there isn't, then we shouldn't be doing it. It's why we have a very clear focus on doing a relatively small number of things really well, because yes. there's a whole load of stuff we could be doing, but it has to work for all the constituents. And that's not just by type of organization, it's by size of organization. Mm-hmm. The London market has this sort of extraordinary shape where there is a number of large businesses, both on the underwriting side and on the broking side. Then there are some medium-sized businesses, and there's quite a long tail of small expert specialist organizations. Mm-hmm. It might be a syndicate, or it might be a broker who's, you know, doing something very niche, but might be employing under 20 people. So when we look at what we're doing, it has to work for all of those people. If we were going to in the market for a strap line, you know, we couldn't do much better.
Of course, one of the key functions of the LNG is that of engaging with government and regulators that you touched upon earlier, and this idea of focusing on proportionate regulation for the insurance sector. And of course, in this context, the LNG supports the work of the Parliamentary Regulatory Reform Group. Just in that context, I wanted to ask, first of all, what prompted the LNG to support the Regulatory Reform Group's work, and what changes would you like to see in the existing regulatory framework for insurance?
So we've been on a journey with the Financial Services and Markets Bill, now Act, where a huge amount of power has been devolved back to the regulators through Brexit. Mm-hmm. And this piece of legislation is the kind of onshoring of a lot of that. Mm-hmm. And the point we have been raising, you know, boringly but consistently through this process is that you shouldn't be giving regulators vast amounts of new powers or extended powers mm-hmm. without some form of accountability. And we felt quite strongly that when the bill was first put before Parliament, it sort of left the regulators not only to mark their own homework, but to set their own homework, you know. Mm-hmm. So a lot of our activity, both with the regulators, with the RRG, with government and the Treasury, has been to say, we just think there needs to be greater accountability.
Yes.
And the bill could do better at mm-hmm. that. And our campaign has been very successful. The bill has changed, I think, a lot further than the Treasury officials ever thought it would. You know, and there is a lot that, you know, there's more metrics, there's a consultation going on around how the regulators will be held accountable. And the work of the RRG is just part of that. And what was interesting from my perspective when we first met as a group with the parliamentarians is there's, you know, it's not just financial services, there's telecoms, there's utilities, there's pharma, there's a lot of other industries in the group. Mm-hmm. And many of the issues around regulation are the same. You know, how does it dovetail into policy? How much independence do the regulators have? What does quasi-regulation look like? So that's really the guiding principle behind everything we've done. People come to the UK to do business because it has a robust regulatory framework. It is definitely a plus. What people like is consistency, and they also just want the regulation to be delivered in a timely fashion.
Of course, the LNG has been advocating for a much more proactive approach to I suppose creating a much more competitive insurance industry within London? And of course, you've touched upon there a few of the stumbling blocks to that competitiveness. And just on that subject, what else would you say the government needs to do?
Well, I think it's given itself some useful tools in the Financial Services and Markets Bill. There is a clause which allows it to ask the regulators to report on almost anything it wants. We have certainly said to them, we think you should use that clause sooner rather than later to ask them about what they're doing around competitiveness and growth. They're doing a consultation on metrics, and so hopefully they'll be asking them to report on some of those metrics quite quickly. So I think they've given themselves the tools to hold the regulators to account and to really ask some tough questions, as well as also looking at, you know, where are the growth areas? So we've been talking a lot about whether we could introduce, you know, a captives regime here into the UK. You know, it's centre of expertise for captive insurance, but there are no UK-based captives. They're all offshore, even for government-owned entities, ironically. And it's back to the word you mentioned earlier, which is proportionality, and why this is a kind of core theme of what we're asking for, which is currently captive insurers are regulated as if they were a normal insurance company, even though the risk they pose to the system is incredibly low, because they're simply self-insuring. And so we've been sort of talking to the regulator, talking to the treasurer about, you know, well, if you could just change that and, you know, a few other things, we think that could be quite a compelling proposition.
It also comes back to this competitiveness of the marketplace, and that is this need to essentially reskill its workforce and attract a stronger pipeline of new talent into the marketplace, but promote the sector more widely as a clearly defined career option for school and college leavers. What are the key sort of recruitment challenges that the London market is currently facing? And what can it be doing better to bring new people, to bring younger people into the marketplace?
So the good news, I say good news in highly inverted commas, is that this isn't a problem that is unique to the London market. I've actually now had this conversation with, extraordinarily, the Central Bank of Saudi Arabia, most recently with people in Australia, people in the US. And the answer is, insurance is not seen as a sexy go-to career in almost any country. Possibly Bermuda might be the exception because of its geography.
Sure.
But every country I've spoken to, industry professionals, have all said the same thing. They have a recruitment challenge because nobody wakes up saying, what I want to do when I grow up is be a property casualty underwriter.
Yes.
And the reason for that, I think, is we've actually been rather insular. We've sat in our village in EC3 and we haven't really got out there and talked to people.
Yes.
So I've broken down the challenge into sort of three kind of problem statements that we can solve for. The first is exactly that. We need, well, we don't just need to tell a better story. Just telling a story would be a good start. We need to tell people what it is that specialty insurance does and what it can offer as a career. So that's step one. The second is we have to hang out in, get that story out in channels that young people hang out in.
Yes.
We need to use their channels, not expect them to come into ours. And the third thing is we do actually have to do this as a unit. This is one of those areas where I say, what do we do every day? We pool capital to take better risks, bigger risks. Why don't we do that with talent? Why don't we pool our resources to kind of move the needle rather than everybody doing one school, three students, you know, and it's a bit of a patchwork quilt of initiatives.
Yeah.
So those are our three problem statements, and we have made huge progress against all of them. So we've built a website called London Insurance Life, which is single source of information for young people on specialty insurance. It's got podcasts, it's got videos, it's got profiles, it's got, you know, everything you wanted to know, all written in plain English. It's got what I call the passions page. So we haven't tried to tell people what terrorism insurance is. We've said, what are you interested in? You click on jewelry or fast cars or horses or whatever it is. And then it shows you how insurance interacts with those topics.
What kind of traction are you getting on the London Insurance Live channel? Because that sounds like a great way to connect with people.
So So what we have to do is we have to drive traffic to it. Just building it is step one, but we're not Kevin Costner. You know, if you build it, they will come. So what we've now done is we're saying, right, we've got that and we're continually adding new content to it, but we're driving traffic to it through TikTok, through Instagram, through LinkedIn, through Twitter, through Facebook. And what we see is when you have some content that really engages young people, you get really good traffic and the traffic is sticky and it goes to the jobs board. And what we're learning is what you really need in this is influencers. You know, it's, mm-hmm. it's just before anyone's really worried, I'm not going on TikTok. and even if I did, I'm not sure it would move the needle. But if you can find the right influencers and third parties who are getting the followers and you can get yes. them to engage with us, mm-hmm. Bob's your uncle. So we did some content with an influencer called Phil. He's done some films around Lloyd's and fine art, and we're picking unashamedly sparkly stuff.
Oh, yes.
And guess what? You know, he had 1 million views of one of his videos now.
Amazing. I'm not saying,
but what we really need to do, my big ask to the market is, if everybody who has said to me, which there are a number, oh, you know, we need to be doing more about this, if they all got out and shared this content and did some stuff on social media, particularly young people whose network is more age appropriate than mine is, that's our superpower. That's our better together moment.
And of course, in that context, one of the things that you have recently conducted, or the LMG has recently conducted, is its Futures Academy, which yet again directly contributes to this idea of ramping up the appeal of the London market to younger people. And of course, something that Arch itself participated in. And can I get a sense of what the objectives of that initiative were?
So the objective was really simple, which is there is a point in students' career where they're starting to think about what the next steps in their life are. Is that to leave school and go into work? Is it to get into an apprenticeship program? Is it to go to university? You know, and that point is at sort of the end of the first year of their sixth form generally. Mm-hmm. So many people had said to me when I took the job and we were talking about talent, well, the thing is, Caroline, you need to go into schools and you need to talk to students. Mm-hmm. And I just looked at them and I said, well, it's a great idea, but I'm not Dolly the sheep. There is only one of me. And how many schools, you know, if you worked it out, if I did one school a week through term time, you know, maybe I could do 20 schools a year and then it's once a year. So it was a sort of, sounds good in theory, but it was clearly not going to be the program that moves the needle. Mm-hmm. So what we said was, this needs to be a journey. We're going to identify 50 schools around the M25, around London. Everybody's got to be within 40 to 50 minutes from the city.
Okay.
We're going to go into the schools and do an hour's outreach as part of their careers curriculum around specialty insurance. Mm-hmm. We're going to build a program which is 2 weeks work experience. So they're going to have something really substantive to put on their CV. And so we said to the students at the end of the session, scan this QR code if you're interested. So we presented to 1,000 students. We had about 600 expressions of interest and we had about 400 people apply. And I went around the market and said, who's going to take some students? You know, yes. We want you to offer them 4 days placement within your firm. And you can take anywhere from, you know, two upwards. And there was a sort of horrible moment when I kind of thought, oh my God, is this going to work? Mm-hmm. And then I was just astonished by the market support. So we had 35 companies agree to take students, brokers, underwriters, you know, all sorts. Mm-hmm. And we did some collective activity in week one. So they got to know something about the insurance industry and what brokers did and underwriters and plus some stuff for them, you know, how to do a CV, how to, you know, what they would be expected in the placement, how to think about their strengths and weaknesses. Mm-hmm. And with the market was that we were oversubscribed. I had 120 places promised. So we were able to offer places to, we in fact ended up with 115 students. And they were amazing. They all turned up. We put them in different venues every day. It was hosted in different offices. So one day it would be in the walkie-talkie, another day it would be in, you know, 22 Bishopsgate. So they saw some super cool offices.
Of course.
We made it absolutely income neutral. Everybody's train fares were paid. Everyone got fed. So that this was, you know, genuinely an experience that, you didn't need to worry about whether you could afford the train fare to get in. And the response from everybody involved has blown my socks off. The kids loved it.
How did they react or respond to it? Because it must have been a very eye-opening experience. This is an industry that I'm assuming most of them knew very little about, and it's pretty exciting when you're in the middle of it.
The nice thing was that they'd arrived as part of this journey, so they'd had the experience. We'd done some keeping in touch sessions with them when we'd introduced them to young people who were in the market. So they were really keen. It was interesting. One of the companies, we did a careers festival on the last day. So we had 20 companies talking about, you know, what opportunities they had available. Mm-hmm. And one of the companies said to me, it was so nice that we didn't have to sell insurance as a career to them. They were there.
How do you build on this? Where do you take this?
We're going to do it bigger and better next year.
Of course.
So we're going to do several things. We are going to do a shorter program in October because of our 50 schools that were identified, we couldn't fulfill the demand. I mean, the demand was so great that, you know, there were students we couldn't get to offer a place to. Mm-hmm. So we want to do something, we're going to do a shorter form in October around apprenticeship. So that will be the next thing we do. We will do the academy again next year. I want to increase it by 50%. So I'm looking to place 150 students. Mm-hmm. Because the demand was so great that I think, you know, that would be a great thing to do. Mm-hmm. The curriculum worked really well. We had amazing volunteers from the market, young people, slightly older people, companies hosting. It was, you know, it was an amazing collaborative effort. And it was the London market at its absolute collaborative best.
Yes. Yeah. Carolyn, I only have one more question for you. And it's returning to our theme today, this idea of pursuing better together. And I wanted to get a sense from you of what that concept, that idea of pursuing better together means to you personally.
I couldn't do anything that I'm trying to do for the LMG without support from the market, whether that's from my, you know, for the trade associations that are our stakeholders and the Corporation of Lloyd's, or whether it's from, you know, specialist, you know, experts in the market CEOs, all sorts of people. It is the thing that puts a spring in my step and makes me bounce into work thinking, you know, I really love what I do. I love the fact that we can do this together. It yes. absolutely is the manifestation of that statement. Yeah. And if I ever tried to do anything where I was sort of going rogue on my own, you know, it would very quickly fall apart because yes. that's not what this is all about.
Carolyn, it's a lovely way to bring our interview to a close. I hope that our listeners have gained a more in-depth understanding of the workings of the LMG and also its ambitions. I suppose all that is left for me is to say a huge thank you on behalf of Arch for your time with us today.
My pleasure.